You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Everybody. It is great to see you this morning. We are working our way through John chapter 15. If you are a guest here, we are so excited that you're here today. We believe that God is stirring, moving, and we pray that something that you hear, see, feel, experience, God will bless you, enrich your life, and help you be all the more fruitful for Him. Let's take a look at the scripture. Again, from John chapter 15, we're going to take a look at about the first 8 verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Well, you know, when I read this part of the passage this past week, I was reminded of being a referee in the YMCA for a winter kids soccer league. Now, this is in Michigan, so what else do you have to do other than winter kids soccer? I loved it. It was so much fun. Saturday mornings, the kids were fantastic. The parents were an experience. Let's go with that. And the interesting part about it was that I did this for 2 seasons. The first season, we kept score. And it was fascinating as the season went on to watch the parents as they came in. You knew who the parents were that were on the winning teams, and you knew who the parents were that were on the losing teams. It was sort of this, you know, we're so excited to be here. And then the second year, they decided not to keep score. Fascinating social experiment, because the kids, they always knew the score. They would score and they go 1-0, and there's no scoreboard that's working, but the kids know what the score is, and the parents would try to correct them. No, we're not keeping score anymore. And they would just look at them like, what are you talking about? It's 1-0. Now, why did the YMCA change? They said maybe we're getting kids that feel badly, that's negative experiences, there's performance anxiety, might mess up their confidence. And the question that I would ask is it so much the kids or is it the parents? Because the kids, yeah, sure, there was always a tear or two for the kids that lost. But then they would say, are we doing McDonald's today, or what's the deal? And they would move on very quickly. The parents, however, was something different. Nobody likes losing. Nobody wants to feel failure. Performance anxiety is real, undoubtedly. I mean, you've felt it in your life, whether it's giving a presentation at work or being part of a recreational sports league as an adult, or maybe it's even the feeling of the first tee when there's a group of people around you and they're all watching you. Performance anxiety is real, but should we never measure anything? Because life seems to count. And I don't know about you, but when it counts, I tend to invest more. Anybody else the same? Well, take a look at this again. Notice what Jesus says. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. What am I after? Seems like Jesus is keeping score. If it doesn't bear fruit, I'm going to take it away. because that's not good for your life. And if it does bear fruit, I'm going to say, awesome. But let's prune it. Let's make it more fruitful. Let's measure it. Let's have a scoreboard of sorts that the areas of your life which aren't fruitful, I'm going to take away. And the areas of your life that are fruitful, we're going to prune them to make them more fruitful. So if I were to look at your life from beginning to end, I should see year after year greater volume of fruit, and the quality of that fruit ought to be better year after year after year. If Jesus keeps score, why don't we? And it's simple. Keeping score or measuring it makes it real. And sometimes, Christian brothers and sisters, we don't want to keep score because it's really hard to get real and look at the mirror at what's going on in our lives. Are you with me? Man, maybe there's some part of me that needs to be taken away. Maybe there's some part of me that's good, but some of me, some of my life, some of my flaws, some of my failures, they get in the way. So let's ask ourselves some scoreboard kinds of questions this morning. First, do you feel closer to or further from Jesus in this last year of your life? Think about that. If you were to take a seven-day week this past week, let's just take this past week, how often did you read your Bible and pray? How many days of the week? Are you part of a small group? And I love Bunko, but I'm not talking Bunko here, okay? Are we tracking? Are you part of a small group where you're real about life, you're studying, you're growing? Who did you invite to church in the last 4 weeks? Who did you serve in the last 4 weeks? And I'm not talking about people in your family, although that's really good. Who did you serve? What financial gifts? How are you generous in the last 4 weeks? Here's a harder one. You ready? Let's dig in a little deeper. We'll take the scoreboard another level up. Are you growing in patience? Anybody else struggle with this one? Oh, thank you so much. We're together. Community is key. Do you have sins or habits to overcome? Are you accountable to someone? Are you honest with that person or that group? Is there an area of your life that you are not at ease? How many people, this is so exciting to do this morning. That's precisely what I thought it would be. I mean, it's hard. Are you with me? Because it's pain. And as I shared with you last week, if you want to grow, if you want to grow more closely with Jesus, if you want to be a greater fruit bearer in your life, there's going to be some pain involved. And sometimes one of the hardest things to do is measure. We're not keen on measuring. We don't want a scoreboard. We don't want to feel judged or performance anxiety or whatever else it is. That is just so hard sometimes. And yet it's entirely necessary. These are these instructions that Jesus is giving us just hours before he goes to the cross. And he's measuring. Notice what he says again. He says, abide in me and I in you. The branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Two things that he's after here. Number one, abiding is essential. Abiding is essential. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. And I realize we don't really use that word in our English language today. So think of it as remain, think of it as endure, think of it as hang in there. That's a 21st century, maybe 20th century, I'm dating myself now. Hang in there. It feels like a 20th century kind of a thing. Like if I can just go a little further, if I can just trust God that God is going to help bring me through, abide with me. Remain in me, hang in there with me, and I'm going to hang in there with you through every season of life. That's the first thing he says. And he says the second part, notice this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit without connection to God. You can't become the man or woman of God that God is calling you to be without the grace of God at work in your life. So I'm not after some kind of works righteousness or pull up your bootstraps and just work a little harder. I'm saying that when the grace of God gets at work in your life and you yield to that work in your life, God begins to grow more fruit in you as you remain in Him and He remains in you. Now, here's what I want you to ask yourself this morning. How well do you do that? Does the day begin with Jesus and saying, I can't live this life without you today? I can't be patient. I can't love my enemies. I can't deal with difficult people at work. I can't make it through the day of teachers and summer vacation is almost over. Jesus, help me today. Help me remain connected in you, and will you remain connected to me? And then in the middle of the day, here's the next question. Do you invite Jesus to be part of your decision making? Now, I'm not talking about are we doing Diet Coke or Sprite today. I don't think he really cares about that. But I'm talking about you have a difficult decision to make at work. Do you stop and really pray about it? Or do you run the decision-making matrix from top to bottom, and these are all the different things? Where is God in the middle of the day? And then at the end of the day, do you stop and say, Jesus, as I take stock of the day, would you show me, would you send your Holy Spirit right now and show me the moments of the day where I was closely connected with you and honored you, and will you show me the moments in the day that I fell short? Because apart from you, I can't do anything. So God, bring up the scoreboard, even though it hurts. Show me where I fell short. Show me where I got it right. Prune it so there's more fruitfulness. Cut off the stuff that doesn't work. If you were to live your life in that kind of abiding process every day, let me ask you a question. Do you think that you would remain more closely connected with Jesus? I think you would. Because you've invited Him into every facet of your life. Don't just be my Sunday God. I want you to be my Monday morning meeting God. I want you to be my Friday night with my friends God. If you were to live your life in a state of abiding, of hanging in there with God, when Jesus says, abide in me, He's not offering a suggestion. He's offering a command, and it all of a sudden shifts things from believing certain things about Jesus to living in Him. Those are two radically different things. And let me tell you, I'm a armchair theologian. I love all the creeds and all these statements and the formulations that we can make about God and the statements that are essential for our faith, but there's a difference between just believing it cognitively and living it experientially. Is that happening in your life? He says, abide with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm not saying work harder. I'm saying trust more deeply. And that is so hard. The reason it's hard, it takes us right back to the human condition of what happened in the very beginning. I want you to think about this. Let me help make a connection for you. In the beginning, there were two different kinds of trees, two different kinds of fruits. You might remember this. Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. And what God says to the people is, here's the deal. You can abide in one kind of tree. You can choose to eat the fruit from the tree that's going to bring you life. It's going to bring you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You can eat from the fruit of that tree. You can remain connected with me. We can do life in this garden, and it'll produce for you every single thing that you could ever possibly need or want for your life. Or there's another kind of fruit that, sure, you can take it, and it looks great, and it's pleasing to the eye, and good for gaining knowledge and wisdom, and you can be like God. You can be just like me. And here's the thing. If you eat from that fruit, you're going to die. So what fruit did we choose? We chose death. And here's the thing. Everybody says, well, Brian, that's a really old story from a galaxy far, far away and a long, long time ago. And it sounds great. Okay, whatever. Genesis, okay, fine. I know the story, but it doesn't really have any impact. No, we do it every day. The fruits and the trees and the vines, they all just look different. And there's all kinds of great fruit that you can pick that's pleasing to the eye and promises you all kind of love and joy and happiness. And the more that you consume them, the emptier that you feel. Because this fruit doesn't abide in Christ. It doesn't abide in the vine. And what Jesus is saying is the lost connection that you have, the deepest sense of fulfillment and purpose in your life, I'm that vine. Remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you don't abide in me, they're thrown away into the fire and burned. But if you will abide in me, ask whatever you wish. You'll bring my Father glory, and you'll bear much fruit. And that reminds me of the parents of those kids that I reft for so many years ago. They were afraid of measuring. And so they were content to leave people where they are. Sure, did you lose? You bet. Just because you lose, you don't have to act like a loser. There's an opportunity to grow. Hey, I didn't measure up today. Maybe there's a greater sense of fruitfulness if I'll invest the time or whatever it might be. What Jesus is after is our growth. I don't think he cares about our comfort, but he does care about our growth. And the word that we use for that is discipleship. I got to tell you, this is a word I think that's so weird for the church because we throw it around and I'm not really certain we know what we even mean by it anymore. We do deep discipleship. You ever heard that before? Like, what does that even mean? We're going to do radical discipleship. We have a lot of discipleship ministries that are here. But what does that even mean? Our discipleship at its heart is really our life in Christ. How deeply connected are we to the vine? Are we growing? Are we fruitful? Are we following him? Are we connected to him? Is the fruit of the Spirit growing in us? Or are we kind of like a branch that's disconnected and is in danger of being thrown out or gathered or burned? And here's the thing. When Jesus says, or offers, I should say, an invitation to people, he doesn't just say, believe in me. He says, follow me. Come and be my disciple. Come and do what I do. Come and live where I live. Come and know what I know. Come and serve how I serve. Perhaps the greatest discipleship sermon that Jesus gives is in Matthew 5 through 7. Two full chapters. Here's what a life of a disciple looks like. And at the end of the sermon, there is this haunting piece of it. He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You're like a branch that's thrown out and gathered together and burned. You miss the abiding part. You knew lots about me, but you didn't know me personally. I don't know about you. This one's hard for me. Because I kind of hear you can be an every Sunday churchgoer and miss life in the vine. You can know all the right things about God and yet not know him personally. It grips me. We got to have a scoreboard in which God just begins to poke at us and nudge us and recognize, oh man, there's places that I fall short. Well, we're trying to give you one as we do life together here at St. Luke. And we say that it starts with possessing a personal faith in Jesus Christ. That unless he's Lord and Savior in your life, there's no grace. There's no connection to the vine. It's like a branch that just gets cut off and thrown out. And if you have that personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, well, there should be some proclamation of it in the way that you witness to other people. I should be able to say, I made an invitation to come to church this week, or I shared my faith story with somebody else. There should be an opportunity of you serving in ministry here at St. Luke or elsewhere. Pastor Meredith's looking for new children's volunteers. And some of you go, well, that's not my thing. Okay, well, what is your thing? What about being part of our hospitality or greeting team? What about working with youth? What about starting a new class? Can you paint? We got tons of walls we'd love to have you paint. I mean, there's always an opportunity to be in mission. Are you generous? Generosity is a mark of fruitful discipleship. And if that's the case, well, there should be some spiritual disciplines or the means of God's grace working in my life. And that looks like daily scripture study and prayer and being part of a small group, taking a communion, which we're going to do here in just a moment. There should be these spiritual disciplines or channels of God's grace in my life. And then finally, I should be pursuing a holy life to become more like Jesus. So if I'm not patient, God, would you cut those branches off? And if you think that you don't have any work to do, let me help you. That's called pride. We can all grow. We can all abide a little bit more deeply. So I've given you a scorecard this morning, and here's ultimately what I'm trying to drive home today. You have all kinds of scoreboards in your life. You just wouldn't call them such. You have a bank account, retirement account, social media account, ESPN account, DraftKings account. You've got an org chart at work. You got trophies on your shelves and certificates on your wall and diplomas that hang there. You have all of these scoreboards that are part of your life. But when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to how closely you're connected to Jesus, how does the scoreboard look? Are you hanging in? Are you remaining close to Him as He remains close to you? Because it seems to me from the scriptures today, He has a scoreboard too. And He's constantly looking at your life, constantly sending His Spirit to say, it's probably not the best thing for you to do. How about we go this way? And if you want God to be at work in your life, I would simply encourage you to do this, not only to measure, but then give God the grace and the room to move in grace, I should say, in your life. We talked about it last week. God, would you remove, would you take away the branches in me that don't produce fruit, and the ones that are, would you prune them so I might be even more fruitful? Here's the thing that I know. God wants to be at work in your life. But He's never going to force Himself on you. He works by invitation only. He invites you to life in the vine. And then as you get connected to the vine, He invites you to go more deeply with Him. The invitation is two ways. He invites you into the kingdom, and then you invite Him to be at work in your life. And here's what I wonder for you today. When's the last time you invited Him to do some cutting or some pruning? Because I bet if you measure, you'll find something there. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you long to be at work in our lives. We thank you, God, that you love us where we are, but too much to leave us where we were. And so today, if we think about these questions, if we think about how closely we're connected with you, maybe we found an area or areas that we realize, God, I want you to be at work in my life. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come in this place and in this moment to these brothers and sisters who are longing to be more deeply connected to you who are our vine. And Lord, we lay down those areas of our lives right now, and we ask you to take away that which isn't pleasing to you. We ask that you would prune that which would make us more fruitful. And we realize, God, this morning, that there truly is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we also recognize that you want us to be fruitful. That's why you keep score. Have your way in us. We make our prayer in and through the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and the people of God said,